Hello, hello. Welcoming everyone to day two of the Multi Six Figure Vision. Hi, Alice. We love the arms up. She's ready to go. We've got Caitlin, Kendall, Brooke, Krista. Amazing. Monday seems to be a better day for it, which is good. But I know that a lot of you caught the replay. And we had the epic Brooke and Krista joining me live yesterday, which was so freaking good. We had such a good time. So I'm super excited for day two. Let me know in the comments down below. I know that a few of you have already let me know that you caught day one. I'm going to be putting all day one, two, and three in a playlist on an unlisted YouTube so that you can catch up on everything. I know that sometimes it can be really helpful to rewatch a training again on like 2x speed, because that means when you come in, you can just like kind of vibe. And then the second time you make more notes. So I'm going to leave it up there. The link is in the emails. I'm going to send it out to you. Do keep in mind that this is going to be put into a paid training in about 2 weeks from now. So you want to capitalize on it whilst you can. And as per yesterday, one person will be winning a one-on-one session with me. All you need to do is take a screenshot, take a photo, share it to your stories, and make sure that you tag me, because otherwise I will not see that you have shared and you will not be able to go on the running. So that's all you need to do. I saw all of your incredible contributions yesterday, so I really appreciate that. You know, someone that runs their business from organic marketing, a share from an audience member can truly make all the difference, and you would all know that running your business through organic marketing as well. So day one was all about innovation. So innovating our vision, looking at the green and red flags of your vision, and how we can massively cock block ourselves when we get too tunnel visioned on what we need to do today and when we're going to get our next client and how can I make more money this month, when in reality, you're really here for so much more than that. Of course, we need to day by day focus on the activities that are going to move the needle closer as well. Oh my God, we've got lots of people joining today. How exciting. It must be a better day for everyone. Hang on. Here we go. There we go. Okay. So day one was all about innovating. So I'm sure if you caught the replay, let me know down below. Oh, and another way that you can also win, go into the running and have more entries to win a one-on-one session with me is by engaging in the chat down below. So afterwards, I'm going to collate all of the notes and I'm going to see who has put in the most entries in that way. So it's going to all go into one big thing and figure out who's going to be winning. So as I was saying, day one, innovation, innovating our offers, innovating our zone of genius, innovating our business, innovating our vision so that we can step into the next level version of ourselves, the version of you that is earning multi six figures. What got you to six figures? What got you to your first couple of clients? What got you to your first 10K month is not what's going to get you to the next level. So that's a great foundation. And honestly, you can fluke to get to a 10K month. And realistically, you could fluke to get to like one off 20K month. But in order to consistently be earning multi six figures, that is going to require an elevated level of strategy. So we were kind of more discussing the momentum, the energetics, and the vision yesterday. And today I really want to focus on the strategy and what you can tangibly do to actually set yourself up for a multi six figure business. And I think a lot of what we think we need to do is I need to post on social media more. I need to do more offers. I need to do more launches. I need to sell more spots. And whilst that is true to an extent, if we're just doing more without analyzing what has worked well in the past, and we're just like, okay, quantity, just get more done, just do more, just more, then we can kind of end up spinning our wheels and getting really exhausted because we're just doing more without actually analyzing what has gone well? What do I like doing? What's my zone of genius? What am I doing that isn't serving me? What do I need to let go of in order to step into the next level of business, which is a really big question to be asking yourself as well. And a lot of people would do so much better in their business if they focus on what was already doing well. And I think a lot of people and a lot of clients that I see come to me and they're like, oh, well, this is weird. It was easy, but like maybe I should be doing more reels, for example. Or they're like, oh, you know, I was using Facebook, but like my Instagram sucks. And it's like, look at what's doing well and capitalize on that. Whilst there are some suggestions that a coach can give you or business gurus on social media can give you, there is so much hidden in the success that you've already had in the past. And if you were to focus on that more and focus less on what else you should be doing, and not let yourself get caught up in that shiny object syndrome of like, oh my God, maybe I should do this new Canva template. Maybe I should launch a new course. Maybe I should also do a broadcast or whatever it might be. Of course, I want you to be creative with it as well, but also ensuring that you have a big focus on what's already doing well, because that's the easiest way for you to be more successful. Shannon said, this is definitely what I struggle with. I don't focus enough on what went well and tuning into things that haven't been working. Same, Shannon. Yeah, of course. And like a big question that I want you to mull over with your vision that you kind of came or were brainstorming yesterday. And even if you haven't watched yesterday, it's like just thinking about where you would ideally love your business to be in the next 5 years and the overall big vision that you would have if there was like no limits. You're not worried about the how to, you don't have an ego, so you're not worried about any like judgments or people pleasing. That big vision, what do you need to let go of in a business sense and in an energetic sense and just in day-to-day tasks? What do you need to let go of in order for that to happen? And when you journal on this, and this is a good question to kind of keep in mind for the next couple of days, don't just let yourself be limited to business as well. Like some of the things that I have shared is not figuring out what I need to cook for dinner every night has been the biggest energy recuperation that I've done, because I just order like one of those Dinnerly boxes and it just gives you the recipe and it delivers it to your door. And it is such a time saver, but then it allows me to be in my business more. It allows me to rest more so that I can then think about better ideas and operate at a higher quality energy the next day. So really thinking about it from like a global scale, and in the same way that an Olympian who is wanting to like run the fastest in the world is taking a really holistic approach to improving their performance, that's the approach I want you to take with your business and your own well-being as well. Like, what can I do to overall improve my health? Obviously, the end goal for me, like when I think about my vision, it's having a personal chef, because that would be amazing, right? And it's, as I shared yesterday with those that came, the vision is to like be flown first class around the world so that I can talk, you know, talk on panels and do Q&As and seminars and all that kind of stuff. Like really let yourself dream into this big vision without coloring inside the lines of like, oh, this is a good use of my money, or this is the best use of my time. It's like, no, but what do you want to do? And when you follow that and you allow that to be your North Star and you're not concerned, as I shared yesterday, so what if it takes me until I'm 70 and I'm getting flown first class around the world? Fucking great. What a great way to spend my 70s. You know what I mean? Like, why does it need to happen in the next month? And that's why we set ourselves up for failure, because we're like, I must have this goal done in the next 60 days or else I'm a failure. Whereas if we're just like, this is the vibe. What do I need to let go of? What can I do today? What can I get excited by? What can I do in the meanwhile, whilst my goals become a reality, which is inevitable? And if you believed your success was inevitable, what else would you be doing differently? And really, who do you have to become to start showing up as that multi-six-figure version of yourself? You don't really have to change that much about your lifestyle. It's generally more about the feelings and the way that you decide to show up. My favorite quote that I'm always reminding clients is, there are people out there who are dumber and have less experience charging triple as much as you simply because they decided they could. And so if they can do it, why can't you? Why are you exempt from being able to decide to charge high prices? And we're actually going to go a little bit into money mindset, because pricing, money mindset are two very linked things together that kind of go hand in hand with Shannon. Sorry, hand in hand with strategy. I was just reading the comment there. Let me read some of the comments. Found myself resisting leaning into FB when I should focus on that being what's going well. Exactly. Love it. Yes, something I've done recently is started going to a co-working space a couple of days a week, focus and creativity through the roof. Yeah, absolutely. I've done that in the past as well. When I hit the big bucks, the first thing I'm getting is a personal chef. Like literally that is the dream. I actually looked it up. Like honestly, it's not even that expensive. I think you can get a person. I mean, like it is expensive, but if you're earning like $1 million a year, I'm pretty sure you can get a personal chef for like 60K a year, which like is expensive, obviously. But like, we think it's like so far out of our reach when in reality, we actually look at it and you're like, okay, cool. If I'm earning seven figures, that's like pretty doable. My big vision is traveling around and having everything flow naturally, generating income and authority when I'm not always online and having a team to jump on and keep the momentum. Definitely business class, relaxing holidays to get the vision flowing. Yes, money so well spent. I love that. And the incredible thing around building brand awareness through your zone of genius. So when I say brand awareness, it's like, how do you become memorable to your audience and how do you stick in their minds even when you're not posting on social media, even when you're not launching something, even when you're not posting on your stories every single day, or even when it's been, you know, you're not actively launching a new story or launching a new program, the way that you can continue to make sales, continue to have clients reaching out to you and inquiring and wanting to work with you is by having a zone of genius, because that is what makes you memorable. So that as soon as that person decides, okay, I'm ready to go from being a follower into an audience member, you are at the top of their mind. And the only way that's going to happen is that if you give them a reason to remember you, which is your zone of genius. So your unique selling point and your natural strengths. Like, you all have a way that you want to do things, and that I believe were given to you for a reason. But there's all of this conditioning that we have to weed through of like, it should be harder. I don't get to be paid for what is easy to me, or, you know, this other coach is doing it this way, or no one talks about it this way. And there's all this conditioning that we need to weed through. And business is very simple, but the execution can bring up all of your shit and create a lot of resistance. And so that's why it's so important to have such a clear vision, so that we're like, I know why I'm doing this, and we can come back to the original intention of why we're showing up for our business in the first place. Okay. So as I mentioned today, we're elevating. And when we're thinking about growing our business from six figures to multi-six figures, and it doesn't even matter if you haven't hit six figures yet, if you're thinking about scaling and growing your business, you want to hit your next income milestone, and you want to really prime your mindset, your business, your audience to be a match for that multi-six figure income level, we really don't want to think about redoing everything, rebranding everything, changing all of our content, changing our full zone of genius. Like, what we want to be focusing on is elevating what you're already doing. So as I said at the start, what have you been doing that's working well, and how can you upgrade that so that it's even better, even more irresistible to your clients, even more specific to your zone of genius, even more clear to your clients exactly what it is that you can offer them. So making more money is not about trying a million new strategies. Instead, it's about honing in on the couple that work really well for you and thinking how you can make them work for you even better. So I'm going to run through. I've got here launching, funnels, marketing and branding, money mindset, offer suite, and then we'll see how we go from there of how we can elevate so that we can see what is keeping your income stagnant, the gaps in those areas, and what you can do about all of those areas so that you can blow up and make more money than ever. Are you sharing a slideshow? No, I'm just reading from notes. So we're just going to have a chat. So you can just listen and vibe, and you can pay attention to my face, or if not, that's totally fine as well. Okay, so let's start with launching, shall we? And what do you feel like? Like, I want to know from you, what do you feel like is the biggest gap in your knowledge in terms of scaling your business currently? Like, what feels the most confusing for you? Or maybe it's not that it's confusing, but you just have a lot of resistance, or there's a lot of stickiness there, and you know that you should do something, but you keep not doing it. And yeah, this is going to feel a little bit vulnerable and exposing to admit that you're not doing something, but that's where all positive change starts. So let me know down in the chat below, and I can give you some guidance as well. I'm going to start with launching here. So I'm curious to know, as well as I'm going through this, how many of you feel like you have a really rinse and repeatable strategy for launching? A lot of coaches and online service providers, basically anyone that wants to grow their business through social media, can get really blocked in terms of launching a new program because they think it needs to be this like massive deal, this huge celebration, this huge party every single time they do it. And they're trying to like one-up themselves every single time. Again, this can really come from this idea that in order for something to be successful, it needs to be hard. I need to really burn myself down. I've got to put in so much effort. And it's this interesting thing that especially us as women, and I know that I have some men in my audience and that have signed up to this program as well, but you'll probably relate to this and find some parallels in it. But especially as women, we have this real need to prove of like, if this is hard, then I deserve to be paid well. And if I'm putting in lots of work and I feel really tired and really busy, then I'm more worthy of, you know, the success of this launch, whatever it might be. And so then what that can tend to do is us becoming a bit weirdly allergic to like rinse and repeatable systems. You're like, even though this launch strategy worked really well last time and it actually got me lots of inquiries, maybe I won't do that again because it's going to be boring, or it's going to be weird, or it's going to be not as good as last time. So therefore, instead of giving it a go, I'm going to change up the whole strategy and do something else that I saw on a random Facebook group or some Instagram reel that I saw a while ago instead of doing the thing that actually already worked well because we're wanting to overcomplicate it for ourselves. So whether it be like posting in a Facebook group or doing some sort of competition or doing a free offering, we're like, no, that couldn't possibly work again because, again, we feel like it's luck or we feel like it's not going to be as hard, so therefore we're not as worthy to be signing up clients or whatever it might be. We don't think that we're allowed to just like rinse and repeat it. But by doing so, you're exerting so much energy and you're not actually giving any strategy enough time to see if it's successful or not. Because in order to see that what you are doing is working, we need to collect data over time. So if you've tried a new Instagram strategy and you do one Instagram post with the new tweak and it doesn't work, you don't actually know whether or not it's worked because it takes months in order to see, is this new strategy actually working? And if you look at like big businesses, like, you know, multinational corporations, Apple, Tesla, any of the big businesses, they're never going to just do like one marketing post and be like, oh, is this working now? They drip feed things over 6 to 12 to 24 months so that they can actually collect enough data to see whether or not their resources are used in an adequate way. So it's like giving yourself and your business time to actually see that what you are doing is working. And if you're finding over like 2 to 3 months that it's really not working, then would be a time to elevate and look at what you have done in the past that has worked. And so when we go back to the example of launching, and again, you can pop this down in the chat below, what has worked really well for you in the past with launching? Has that changed? Have you tried it again? What's stopping you from doing it again as well? And let me read all of this. Actually creating the programs that are ideas in my brain. Yep. Increasing my prices with fear I won't be accessible to everyone and people won't come with me to that next level. I've got something so good for you, Caitlin, coming up in Money Mindset. Resistance. Charging more and believing that lots of people will join an offer. I'm always like, wow, if 5 people are joined, I'd be stoked. Yeah, such a glass ceiling, isn't it? Of like, oh my God, I should be so grateful that X amount of people have joined, which you're allowed to be. But I think, again, that's a cap, an upper limit that we can create for ourselves of like, oh, I'm happy even one person joined. Instead of like expanding that vision and being like, even just the simple language for you, Kendall, of like, I'd just be so happy if like 5 people or more joined, because it creates this energy of more expansion and a match to the capacity to have more, like an energetic capacity. Yes, me too. Oh, overthinking. Small group offers sell well, but wanting to move to longer group containers but struggle with marketing, launch and selling spots. Feel intimidated by funnels. Yep. Yes to above all the above, actually. I definitely think it needs to be constant on the go and I overthink and hold myself back when it goes slower than expected. Totally. This is something that I'm teaching to my clients all the time around. It's often not that we think that the launch isn't working or that like there isn't often a problem there. It's more just that we're so resistant to feeling uncomfortable. And it can feel really uncomfortable to post an offer 5 days in a row without anyone reaching out to you. But that's what's then going to lead to someone actually signing up to it because they need to see that repetition and become familiar with it. I realize I often feel this pressure when launching, same as I felt in exams. Well, I could always be doing more to get better results and another sale. Also, the first thing I launched was to me a huge success. What if the next one is a total flop? Yeah. It's interesting because you're like, oh, you're like really wanting the first thing to go really well. And then you can kind of like enter it with like no expectations. And then the next offer, you're like, now I've got pressure. Now I have to meet these expectations. Totally get that. I struggle to refine the content in my offers. I have so much info to share, but if I shared all, they'd be completely overwhelmed. That's a good reminder to observe results over time. I'm so impatient. Question, when you say to reflect, to look at what isn't working, what sort of things would we be looking or asking ourselves? Okay, so this is a good question. So specifically the things that I would be asking yourself is go through your analytics in your social media and look at the content that I don't really care that much about likes, but looking at the content that has the most like saves, shares, looking at your stories that have the most messages to you, looking at all of that kind of stuff. And I do this like probably once a month. And really analyzing why you think that is the case. And can you, like, generally, especially if that post or that story was like 3 months ago, I will repost it exactly the same. I won't even change anything. I might just change it if my branding colors have updated since then, or I want to use like a or I want to use it in a reel and it was a carousel, whatever, but I'll just repost it. And again, this is where we can simplify our systems and make our business so much easier to run. But there's this resistance that comes up of like, oh, I can't repurpose it. What if people know? Well, that's lazy. It's not going to have the same vibe. And it's like, so what if people know? Then they get to see it again. Like, that's fine. Like, what's the worst that's going to happen from that? You're allowed to do things in an easy way and get really incredible results, because it's not actually easy necessarily, but I'm going to explain more about this as well. So that's what I would be analyzing. I also analyze, like, at the end of every single launch, I think about what I could have done differently. So even last year, I did a challenge where it was a 3-day challenge. It was in like July last year. And I really didn't have that many people attending live. And so I thought about, okay, why is that? And the interesting thing was, is that I didn't have that many people attend live. And I had like 50 people signed up to it. No one turned up to it live, which was fine. But the interesting thing about it was that so many people signed up. Like, I made like 25K off the back of that offer. And I was like, interesting. Okay, so like, why is it that no one signed up live? But obviously the information was good enough, because otherwise people wouldn't have signed up. So I kind of analyzed that and was just like, now every time I do a training, I'm going to have email reminders. And so now you will have all received email reminders. And even from this training, I'm like, okay, so Monday doesn't seem like the big day where everyone comes on, which is totally fine. I loved having a cozy, intimate session with Brooke and Krista that were able to make it. But I'm like, I'm keeping that in the back of my mind for the next time I run things. I'm like, okay, maybe I'll do a different time. Maybe I'll think about doing it on a Tuesday instead. And I'm just like constantly analyzing and reflecting each launch, and not from a place of like, oh, why didn't I do that better? Why wasn't I smarter? Why wasn't I more prepared? What's wrong with me? No one likes me. Why is no one signing up? Like, I'm not doing it from a victim mindset. I'm doing it from a very neutral observer mindset of like, interesting, that didn't work. Or like, that worked really well. Why is this? So I'm really clear behind the reason for why things did go well, they didn't go well, and then I implement them for the next time. I always think I need to be doing new every time, when some of my past posts were bomb AF. Yeah, love the email reminders. I would have totally forgotten otherwise. Same, and I would too, but sometimes it's just a lack of awareness where we just don't remember to even send email reminders. But truly, that makes such a difference. And now I've just rehired my VA after having some time off her. And like, now I'm like, you can send a million reminders so that everyone can make sure that they don't miss out on this juicy content. Kendall says, I'm so scared to claim I want 20, 30, 50 people in this offer. And yeah, like, part of having more people in your offers, there's strategy that we're going to talk about today as well. But there's also a piece of like being around people that make it feel like that is a normal, okay thing to ask for. So if I'm like talking to like my friends and family, or, you know, people that know me well, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I want 100 people in my offer, it sounds weird. Whereas if I'm surrounded by other coaches and business owners and like big thinkers, ambitious people, that feels like a norm. It would feel weird if I didn't claim that I wanted to have that big desire. So it really matters about the company that you keep, because they're really going to even just like illuminate where you're holding yourself back and capping yourself at an energetic ceiling, despite wanting more, but thinking you need to wait for some reason, or thinking that you should be grateful for what you have. I love that about not thinking about it from a victim mindset. I had so many signups for a masterclass, but not everyone showed, and it pulled me back from my offer in the end. So in the future, I'm not going to go in with the mindset that they need to be there. Yeah, totally. Like, I've had many, I always think back to that offer where I had like one or two people showing up live to the 3-day training. And then I had like literally, so it was like one of my biggest launches ever off the back of that, when I launched the membership. And I always think about that, because I'm like, it really, you just never know. And it's the same thing as well. It's like, sometimes I can have the worst engagement and I will have so many people sign up. It just like doesn't, our ego like really wants it to make sense in that way, because it's like a logical calculation that it thinks it can rationalize. But so much of business is unknown and actually doesn't really make sense. And if it was meant to make sense, half of us wouldn't even be on entrepreneurship. Like, the journey is meant to be weird and magical and uncertain. And so it's like allowing yourself to exist in that uncertainty rather than slapping on a random answer of like, everyone hates me, no one's interested, just because that's what your ego thinks, just to give you that sense of certainty. Mute you, Caitlin. I can hear you calling to your dog, which is all good. We love that. We know what the puppy... My dog is always interrupting my calls. Poor Kendall, we had a call the other day and my dog would not leave me alone because the pet gate broke. But never fear, the pet gate is up and at it. So we're not going to get interrupted today. Okay, so the next thing that I want to speak to is, so basically launching, figuring out a launch process that you can rinse and repeat, looking at your past launches, looking at what did well, and thinking about how you can reapply those to your next launch. The next piece that I want to talk about is funnels. So I created a post about it this morning because I was thinking about this training today. And I used to say a lot like, oh, I don't use funnels. I don't use websites. I don't use anything complicated because I used to think that I didn't really like that I was being really efficient and my systems were really simple, which they were to an extent, but also anyone that uses funnels at a high level, sorry, at like a, you know, where you're bringing in lots of clients, will tell you that they are so fucking simple. And all that a funnel is the process that it takes for a client to go from a non-purchasing client into a purchasing, sorry, a non-purchasing follower into a client that invests money into you. So many people just wait and post on like their stories or do a call to action on the bottom of their post being like, come and work with me, whatever. But you are losing out on so much potential to build rapport and trust within your followers simply by using a funnel. And technically you could say that using the like using DMs, it is like a version of a funnel because you're basically bringing someone into your audience and then having them DM you and like that's like the funnel, right? But for example, a funnel, if you set it up where you collect email addresses through a freebie, basically like how you signed up to this program, have an offer that's like an optional bump. So I did the guide. You could use a past masterclass. That's basically what I'm going to use this training for. It's going to be an optional add-on bump that people can use as a purchase, purchasable like replay. Any sort of like mini bump, you want it to be like less than $50. If it's more than that, then it becomes quite a hard decision as to whether or not people say yes. Where if it's less than $50, then it's quite easy for people to just like add it on. And the point of it is to not make money. The point of it is to give your client the experience of purchasing something from you, seeing that it's good, being able to trust you more, being able to trust themselves more. And it makes them literally so like 50 times more likely to want to then invest high ticket into your high ticket offers as well. So that's something that I would keep in mind. And then off the back of that funnel, you want to be doing the free masterclass or whatever it might be and having a series of emails that basically outline the pain points of the course that you're selling, the group program, whatever it might be, the logistics, some client case studies, all of this kind of stuff. I go in depth with my clients. So if you're in the Ministry of Genius or you're going to be joining the next round of the Visionary Mastermind, you get in depth. We do this together to build out this system for you. But even from today, you could definitely set up an email opt-in with a little bump on it that people can start purchasing. And that will make so much of your audience ready to invest higher ticket in you as well. So it's like releasing this idea that having more systems and including more masculine structure in your business is going to make you feel like weighed down or take away your spontaneity, because that kind of energy is what's keeping you stuck at the income level you are at, because you're continuing to operate what got you to this income level and not thinking about how you can elevate your business so that you can actually have the capacity to hold more clients. Because think about it this way. Imagine if you, like, this is the goal for me, right? I want to have like thousands of comments on my Instagram reel where everyone wants my free training. And then that leads into a bump. And then that leads into a course. And if I have thousands of people that want my free training, there is no way that I want to be sending out an email to every single person. And also, I'm not going to be using that audience to its best capacity or to its best ability if I don't have some sort of funnel set up on the back end of it, meaning that people are going to sign up to something and forget completely about me, not want to work with me, not get their life transformed, not get to access my zone of genius. I don't get paid. It's just a wasted opportunity. So you may as well, because it's going to benefit you because you get paid, and it's going to benefit them because they get the service and the solution that they are lusting over. So something to keep in mind with funnels as well. Once you get them set up, you're like, how did I not do this sooner? Funnels are so good. I've noticed with free masterclasses too, if you give a limited time to watch the replay rather than lifetime, more people either come live or actually watch the replay. 100%. This is with anything. You need to give people an incentive and a deadline to take action on anything, whether it is a free download, a guide, an offering, a time-sensitive discount at the back end of the program. Because again, it's going to benefit someone to have a deadline to make a decision, because it is human nature that if you can do anything, if you can do something at any time, you often won't do it unless you are highly disciplined. But even then, it's easy to get distracted. We only have a certain amount of decision-making capacity every single day. Giving people an incentive and a deadline and a reason to get started sooner rather than later is so important for their transformation and for your business as well. So really thinking about with funnels, if you're wanting 100 clients, if you're wanting 50 clients in your programs, you're going to need to start to set up these systems so that you can actually onboard and also hold hundreds of clients as well. Okay, so moving on to marketing and branding. Again, this is where we want to elevate what you're already doing, what's already doing well. And I follow pretty much all of you on social media. You're already consistently posting on social media. You're creating incredibly valuable content. You are all geniuses in your own right. Like, you know what you are fucking talking about. There is literally no doubt in my mind. Like, you know what you are talking about. So it's not about needing to learn more or needing to sound more smart or needing to like do another qualification. It's just about elevating the way that you talk about your offer so that your clients who are sitting on the other end of the social media screen can really understand and feel moved from an emotional place, because that's where people purchase things from. People don't buy things or really do anything from a logical standpoint. So for example, people know that smoking is bad for them, but they don't stop doing it because they're emotionally, it's giving them something, right? So if you flip that on its head in a positive way to be impacting people, even people might know that they need a coach, or they know that they need to work with someone or buy a course. Like, they might need to know it, but unless you can get into their emotions and make them feel moved and activated by your content, they're not going to take that action. So I want you to start thinking about, how can I bring more of that emotion and that storytelling and that experience into my content? Because the sad truth is, you could create an encyclopedia of your coaching services through your Instagram, but that is not going to be what triggers a human into making the investment into your service. People don't buy things because you're smart. People buy things because it emotionally makes them feel like they're going to get something that they desire or that they crave. And so you want to be bringing that into your content. So even if you're going to be creating content that is like really educational, valuable, you know, it's fucking life-changing, thinking about how you can bring your emotion and bring that feeling of grabbing someone's attention and holding their attention and making it eye-catching, because otherwise it's too easy to scroll on through and click on the funny cat video or watch a video of like someone singing along to a song in a car. Like, it's the brain, and I was talking about this to the client this morning, the brain always wants to conserve energy. So it is not looking for really complicated, in-depth, valuable pieces of content. It's looking for short, eye-catching and engaging content that is going to give them a quick win in that content. Do you know what I mean? So like, it's the sad but harsh truth that like very educational and smart content isn't what signs people up. It's the content that can make people feel like they're getting a quick win from it, that dopamine hit. We've got to work with human psychology, and we've got to work with the game of social media, because social media, as I said yesterday, we don't own that. So we have to run by the rules of social media if you want to use that platform for free to generate multi six figures, if not seven and eight figure businesses are literally running off Instagram for free. So with that, the way that you can elevate your content as well is really bringing in your zone of genius in a very consistent way. So always talking about in whatever way that it might be. So like, say for example, I have a client in the mastermind currently, and she's been a psychologist for 10 years. So I'm saying to her, every single piece of content, tell people that I've been a psychologist for 10 years and I've worked with this kind of population. Or, if you have like whatever kind of like your zone of genius might be, like, you know, I used to struggle with depression and then I healed it naturally through somatic methods without having to go on medication. Like, really starting to bring it up all the fucking time, so that people start to come into your inbox and they're like, I want that. I want to work with you on that. And that is how, going back to what Shannon was saying about having that momentum going, even if you're not on, you make that happen, because if you're always talking about it, it starts to seep into people's brains. And that's why people now come to me and they ask to work with me and they're like, I want to work on my zone of genius, because I don't have to post about it that day for people to remember it. And they're not trying to remember it. It just becomes memorable. It's just like if I say to you, what's the tagline for Nike? You know what it is. It all comes up, the tick, the just do it. Like, you don't have to see an ad from Nike for months, but you still remember it. And so that's the kind of brand awareness that you want to create that will then lead to you having constant inquiries, even if you're not always selling and always launching and always posting on social media. Okay. I struggle with systems of where to upload the sign up for the replay of the masterclass. Where to upload? So I just uploaded this really simply. I just uploaded this to YouTube and then sent out an email through MailChimp, which is where I collected all of your emails. Not sure if that is what you mean, Shannon. And I recommend payments. I use Thrivecart integrated with Stripe. If you don't want to pay for Thrivecart, then I would use Stripe. Also, can you resell a masterclass with participants in the video? You can ask for their permission, or if you record it to their, if you record it to the cloud, it actually gets rid of all of the faces so that it is anonymous. So if you record it to the computer, it puts up people's faces, but if you record it to the cloud, it makes sure that all of the faces are anonymous. But you could also just ask and send out an email. That's made me rethink my somatic guide book. Check out going to add my nervous system edu masterclass I did for the course last year as a bump. Yes. So amazing. Oh my God, hack. I didn't know it recorded to the cloud. Yep. Or I used to do FB groups. Yes. So you can absolutely do Facebook groups and do the replay in there as well. Yeah, little hacks for you all. That's the Manny Jen giving you the unique solutions. Okay, what else was I talking about with content? So really intentionally, like constantly bringing up things about your zone of genius, like all the time, anytime that you can bring it up. It is like starting a nickname for yourself. So it's going to feel cringy and it's going to feel like you're talking about it all the time. But that's how you then get people coming into your DMs being like, I want to work on this topic with you. I saw that you've been a psychologist for 10 years and that's really important for me on my healing journey. I saw that you use somatic methods and that's something that I really want to try. I've seen that you used to struggle with chronic fatigue and now that's something that I am struggling with. So I really need to work on that. Like if you are really open about your experience or your past achievements and what creates credibility, that's your zone of genius in your marketing. That then creates that brand awareness that keeps you top of mind within your audience. The other piece that I want you to think about with your content is qualifying the kinds of people that you want to be working with in an ideal way. So very often we can get focused on the outcome. So say, for example, as a business coach, you want to make more money, or as a healer, you want to help people let go of their past trauma, a nutrition coach, help people to eat healthier. Like those are all of the outcomes, right? But we also want to ensure that we are speaking to the exact type of person by qualifying them so that they can see themselves in your content. So for example, if you are a business coach, for example, or I'll just use that example. If I want to help people make more money, what kind of people do I want to help make more money? People that are at the beginning stages of their business or at the middle phase of their business, what are they feeling now? What are their specific pain points? What are their, like, what's going through their brain during the day? So, you know, even if you're working like as a nutrition coach, what like, do they have an idea of nutrition already? Do they have some sort of experience with dieting? What are they thinking about day to day? How do they feel in their social situations? How are they interacting with nutrition information online? Like really getting into it and qualifying those people. And as you're starting to want to earn more money, you're going to want to speak to a more premium kind of client. And when I say premium client, I'm basically just referring to clients that will invest high ticket in your offers. And this doesn't necessarily mean that they have more money or that they're richer. It's just that investing in your service is something that really aligns with their values. So it's the reason why someone would choose to buy organic, even though they earn like a very normal salary, and the next person chooses to buy all of the like just about to go off vegetables. It's not necessarily because one person has more money than the other. It's just that that's what that person values spending their money on, right? So for you, when you're thinking about speaking to a more premium client, you want to be qualifying them and really show that you know exactly what they're going through. So for example, if you're a nutrition coach and you're wanting to work with someone to like upgrade their health, you might be talking about you're someone that being health conscious is really important to you and you're really interested in feeling like energized and vital, but you're just not sure if you're doing it exactly the right way. Being able to go to the gym and feel good and feel like you're gaining muscle is super important to you, and you'd really like to gain extra clarity around exactly the right nutrition to eat. Like, really start to qualify them so that they can see exactly who you are talking to, as opposed to just these very generic statements of like, get healthier, feel more energized. Like, what about the client that you would like to work with? Are they doing and thinking during the day? And what is their like inner desires? Get confused on how to speak to these premium ready to invest clients in more simple, eye-catching ways. Content like how to. So if you think about like a problem that a client who is a little bit more advanced would have. So if you're like a premium client is someone that's already buying organic, for example. And so instead of saying like why you should be eating organic, because that would be speaking to someone that's like doesn't really care about it and you're trying to convince them to eat organic. Versus if you're wanting to speak to the premium client who already eats organic, you might say, these are my best top tips to find out where to get the best organic fruit and vegetable. Does that kind of make sense? So you're speaking to someone that's like, I already value this service. I am the kind of person that wants to invest high ticket. I'm the kind of person that prioritizes investing in my healing journey. Like, what would you say to them? You're not going to say to them, like for me, I'm not going to get activated by someone telling me why I should invest in my coaching, because like I already invest in coaching. I don't need someone to tell me that. I want someone to show me how they can expand me, knowing that I already have the intention to invest in their coaching. Let me know if that lands with you, but it is a bit of a concept to wrap your head around. And I probably would try not to understand it from a content space first and instead think about it from who is my ideal client? Like, what are they thinking about day to day? And then bringing it into content, because qualifying your clients is not about the outcome. Qualifying your clients is like, what are their characteristics that they have now that makes them a really good fit for the service? And then once you figure that out, you can create content that's angled towards them. The other thing that I would say with marketing and branding, you'll probably have noticed this within my offers as well, also my social media, is that to be recognized as a memorable brand, and I used to always dismiss this, I want to have a more put together and aesthetic brand. And I used to always dismiss this because I'm such a simple girl. I am not like big into like, I don't know, making things look very extra, or at least I used to be. Like, I was brought up in a very like understated, don't be overdressed, why are you wearing that dress, like kind of household. Whereas now, especially this last year, I've really come into like, no, this is what I want to look like. This is what I want my space to look like. I'm going to take time to make my office look beautiful. And that same energy I'm bringing into my content and just spending like a couple of moments more when creating the design in my Canva. Now, some of you need the opposite advice. Some of you actually need to spend less time fucking around in the templates. But some of us, like myself, actually need to be given permission to be like, it's okay to be a little bit extra. It's okay to spend a little bit extra to like figure out your brand colors. And what I would say to keep it simple and streamlined, pick like, I normally say two colors and then black and white. And obviously you can use different shades of the colors as well. And with your fonts as well, pick one font that's like a curly font, a sans serif font. I think that's, no, a serif font is the curly one. And then a sans serif font is like the block one. And so just pick two and just like roll with that for like the next couple of weeks and months, and then move forwards with that. Reason being is that it does make your business be perceived in your clients' minds, followers' minds, as more put together, as more premium and legit. And it's going to make you feel like that as well, because you're putting more effort into the way that it looks. Again, if you're already fucking around on Canva for hours every day making your content, then don't worry about this. And I would strip it back and make it less hectic. But if you think about all of the coaches that you follow that you really remember that you love to follow, there is an element of consistency that's not just generic and very recognizable and stand out. They're not changing their font every single day, changing up their colors every single day, changing up their templates every single day, but they are doing something that's in alignment with the vibe that they want to express. So another good thing for you to analyze is like, what kind of energy do I want to express? And for me, I really wanted to think about a brand that was like one of like movement and momentum and like taking yourself seriously, but also being able to be like goofy at the same time. So like, that's why I'm always mixing in like really like those professional photos that I've done at like actual shoots with like kind of silly photos where I'm laughing or I'm having my dog or whatever. But like sometimes in moments when I'm saying something really profound, I will take a moment extra to go through the Dropbox that the photographer gave me to find the right image, even on my stories, even if it's only going to be up there for 24 hours, because I want to put in that extra time and attention for my stories or for my content so that it becomes really memorable. And that's going to have a lasting impression for your clients. And it's so easy. Like I posted a reel the other day about how to find your brand colors. So go and check that out on my page as well. Brooke says it's a huge shift. I've spent a lot of time talking to a client I don't want to work with. Yeah. Learning how to change that and feel so much more aligned. Yes. And me and Brooke are going to be starting our one-on-one coaching very soon, which I'm so excited. And that means we can get down and dirty to this because there is so much to talk about this as well. So excited for you, Brooke. Can't wait. This makes so much sense and it's such a huge perspective shifter. Love the movement you just did for Curly One. Curly One? Am I missing something? Oh, the Curly One. Right. Yes. I was like, wait, what? I'm the same. I definitely talk to people that don't want to invest but aren't willing to invest. It's like learning a new language. It's very easy almost to be in convincing energy. But the analogy I often give is like when someone wants, like if someone, like my best friend asked me the other day, I told her that, guys, I'm getting my hair done, by the way. I'm going darker. I will update you more on how we go, but I'm over the blonde. I like woke up the other day and I was like, I hate this. I want to change it. So I'm very excited. And I was telling my friend about it and she was like, oh, do you have a hairdresser you recommend? And I was like, yes, I've got this amazing person. Message her. She booked it in. She's so excited, blah, blah, blah. Like I just went into it. I wasn't like, oh yeah, this is why you need to go to this hairdresser and you should really get your hair done. And it's really important to take care of your hair. And, you know, I wasn't in that convincing energy. I was just like, oh my God, it's so good. And I love going to her and she's a great person and she's really efficient and blah, blah, blah. Like I can still talk to the benefits of it, but I'm not convincing her why she needs to go get a haircut because she already wants to go and get a fucking haircut. You know what I mean? So if you were to think about that with your content, it's like, how can you start to speak to people in your audience of like how they already want to come and work with you? How would you just express the benefits and why they get to be excited and why it's such an incredible experience and like the benefits of it? That's the angle that you want to go from it with. And that's like when you have this big vision as well, that's easier to anchor into because you're like, I want to change the world. I want to create big content. I want to shake up how things are traditionally done. Like I have a big mission. And so when you bring that into your content and you have a deeper meaning as to why you're showing up and you're not just running a business, you're not just coaching clients, it becomes much easier to bring that energy of excitement and speak to those premium clients because they can feel the inspiration and it's leaking out from you. And that's very magnetic, right? Just like if you're really excited about some sort of product that you used recently that really changed your life, it would be so easy for you to be that product spokesperson because it means so much to you at a deeper level. And so don't get so caught up in the pursuit of creating amazing content and working with more clients and trying to make more money that you forget the reason why you started this business in the first place. And when you focus on that and when you focus on changing people's lives and building the community that I know you all have, the money, the visibility, and the impact will come as a consequence of focusing on that as well. Okay, I've got so much more to share on marketing and content, but I want to go into money mindset because it's already 1:50 and like, where does the time go? Time flies when you're having fun. With money mindset, so where do I start with this? Are you thinking like a six-figure business owner or like a multi-six-figure business owner? Because your prices need to also reflect that as well. And when you're kind of earning your first six figures or 10K months or, you know, your first couple of clients, you're really just like, oh my God, okay, I want to get that demand up. I want to get people in the door. I just want anyone to pay me anything. But once you start getting to six figures, you need to start thinking a little bit more strategically about the way that you're running your business. You need to make sure that the way that you have your different offers stacked together actually makes sense so that they can all combine and add up to a higher cash month. And so this is where we get to start to raise our prices. And I know that we've had a lot of money mindset about this because a lot of people are just wanting anyone to sign up with them. And so they kind of put themselves in this position where they become like the discounted end of day sale before it goes off. Oh my God, I've got to be a good deal for people that want to be really accessible. And so now you start to become the right service for people that want discounts, as opposed to being the beautiful, delicious, organic peach that, you know, deep down you really are, right? So a lot of the time people base the way that they are pricing their offers on the amount of hours that they are working. So for example, it doesn't really take me that long to do this client. So maybe I should charge X amount of money because it doesn't take me that much time and effort. And so you're looking at it from this really like quantifiable way. We're often thinking about how much I'm getting per hour. Is it worth it depending on how much I'm giving to that person? Like what's included? When in reality, that's like the total reverse of how we should actually be looking at it. So think about it this way. We used to have a cleaner when I was living in a share house like 3 years ago that would come every 2 weeks. And she charged $30 an hour. And she would come for two hours. And she was coming to us for like a year whilst I lived in that share house. I mean, definitely if you live in a share house, get a cleaner because it just saves so much tension. But she would come to us for years, right? And then she eventually started, like it only took her like an hour. And then, it started only taking her an hour, but we would still pay her the $60. So do you think that's fair to still pay her the $60? Do you think that because now it takes her less time because she's got more experience as a cleaner and more, she's just become better at cleaning that we should suddenly start to pay her less just because it's taking her less time? So that's the same thing. Like she shouldn't be earning $30 just because it takes her less time because she's become a better cleaner and she can do it more efficiently. And if you work with we hired an end of lease cleaner for our old place before we moved here. And when we worked with them, they don't charge per hour. So like a big company doesn't charge per hour. They're just like, it's this amount for the clean because they know that the clean is valuable based off the service as opposed to the amount of hours that is being put in. So that's why you want to detach your own value, your own idea of what your service is value based on the amount of work and effort you have to put in now. Because if you think about all of the time and effort and energy and the investment, the research that you've done, the study that you've done, the qualifications that you've done, the podcasts that you've listened to, the books that you have read, the coaching sessions that you have done, the conversations that you have had, if you combined that all into the service that you have now, yes, maybe it only takes you an hour to get a client results, but that hour has taken you fucking years to be able to do it so quickly for that person. So therefore, you don't want to be charging it based off that 1 hour that you are working with that client for. You're basing it off the experience that has led you to this point now to be able to do it so quickly. So basing your prices on the amount of value you are giving your client and the time that you are going to help them to speed up their process. It's the same with investing in a business coach. You could get that result. Like you can get to 10K months by yourself. You can get to 20K multi six figure months by yourself, but it's probably going to take you 10 times longer. And so yes, you have to invest a big amount to make money, but also it helps you get there 10 times faster. So it's kind of like, what are you valuing? And is it not worth it to you to be moving quicker so that you can work with more clients sooner and making that money back? But again, there's all of this conditioning around, oh, I shouldn't be spending that amount of money, you know, and this is not something I would necessarily be talking about on your social media because it's going into that convincing energy. This is more just us having a conversation about investing and about the way that you value yourself for your pricing so that you can understand why you're allowed to charge the prices that feel really good. So all of you, why not add an extra 10, 20, 30% to your pricing? And let me tell you, sorry to all of the men in the audience, but like straight white cis men, they would probably already do it, right? So why can't you? And this is the thing, like societally for women, we earn, I think still like 80 cents to a white man's dollar. So that we don't become immune to that just because we run our own business. We know because society has conditioned us into thinking that we are less worthy. So we have to actively step out of that and realize, if I want to be accessible to people, they can come to my free webinars, they can consume my content, they can do a low cost offer, whatever. But your one-on-one time and access to you at that close proximity should not be on the discount rack. That's not the right kind of client for you. And the thing is that if you don't charge yourself at that level, it doesn't mean that you're suddenly going to end the like lack of resources to people. Like it doesn't make you more useful. All it means is that the client that was going to invest high ticket in you isn't going to, because the amount that you are charging doesn't align with the value that they want to spend. So therefore you lose out on a client that probably would have really benefited from working with you at that level of money. Okay, is that all landing with everyone? This is something that I have had to work on a lot as well, so I really understand it. I struggle with premium because of the thinking that mums won't spend it on themselves. Do you know any mums that just spend all day getting their hair done and working with nannies and like just look on the Real Housewives of like LA or whatever, what's it called, Beverly Hills. Like there are definitely mums out there that are investing in themselves. It's just a matter of perspective. There's so many examples of mums. Like we live here, like, I mean, when I was living in Bondi, you should have seen the mums that just had nannies with them and all this kind of stuff. So like, it just kind of depends on, you know, when, because often we're taught that we should be marketing towards a past version of ourselves. But sometimes we take that too literally to mean like, oh, a past version of me would never have invested in this. And it's like, but there is a version of you that might have at the right moment, because there was a past version of you that decided at some point that it was worth it to them to invest time into their healing. So don't take it so literally to the point of like, oh, I didn't invest in that moment. It's like there is someone that is struggling with that problem that does want to invest in you, but how are they meant to know that if you don't put it out to them in that way? Oh, Kendall says, I don't have an issue charging premium for one-on-one, but group programs, courses, and masterminds, I struggle because I'm scared the higher the price, I won't have anyone sign up. So there's also a piece of like, if you don't want to charge higher, you don't have to, but you probably could. And it can be very intuitive. So it doesn't have to be like, oh, I've got to raise all of my prices now. But again, it's like, why are you taking the responsibility of whether or not people are going to know, like whether or not people are going to invest in it? Why not put it out there and see what happens? And you won't know until you try. And there, like there, it's just, it's one of those things where you won't know until you try, and you're trying to find like certainty and like, no one's going to sign up, therefore I'm not going to do it. So it's easier to do. Whereas like charging more, it's unknown. So therefore it feels unfamiliar. So therefore you don't choose to do that certain thing. There's no guarantees. But also, Kendall, if you look at your past, and this goes for anyone, you have so much evidence to prove that people do want to invest in your services. It might not be exactly that amount, but there's evidence to prove that people do want to invest in themselves. Thank you, beautiful reminder. The proof is out there. I know it's coming down to needing to elevate my messaging. I'm getting better at setting prices that feel aligned. I'm not a mom, but previously spent my last dollars on the things I value and I made it work. Yep. Agreed. I have 20 years of experience and I've spent hundreds of thousands on educating myself. I'm not getting on a free call or call for $100. I have so much free content. You want my time, energy, experience. You got to pay for that. Boom. Claim it. That's me. I wasn't able to invest when I needed this info. I'm working on elevating the messaging and speaking up to a client and speaking to the empowered version. So for you, Emma, I would challenge that and say, I wasn't able to invest when I needed the info. You were able to invest. It just might not have been financially at that moment. And so that's the kind of person might be investing in your content, and then they might turn into a paid client, just like how you've invested in many other things now since as well. Me too. I invested in a coach the week after I got fired. Best money I could have ever spent. Lol. I mean, I got fired too. And then I invested in a coach too. I don't even have money. I had $2,000 in credit card debt. I had to borrow money from my mom, which I know is such a fucking privilege. And I was able to get a business coach, and I was, and that like put such a fire under my butt to kind of pay it back. But yeah, we've all been in those moments as well. Okay, according to a cop, so let me see what else I have got here. So the last piece that I've already kind of touched on as well, and we'll kind of wrap up in the next 5 to 10 minutes, is that ensuring your office suite actually makes sense. So we've kind of been touching on this a little bit. It depends on like, oftentimes, sometimes if you think that like, you know, group programs shouldn't be high ticket, looking at why you think that is. And oftentimes, maybe it's because we think that like people have to be in one-on-one coaching in order to get the best experience. So therefore, we have this subconscious belief that it's okay to charge more for one-on-one coaching because people are going to get better results. Whereas like personally, I actually prefer being in a high level mastermind most of the time, because I like bouncing ideas off other people. And I always kind of add a little bit of VIP with my coach. But it just kind of depends on looking at your own experience of how you invest. Do you necessarily get worse results because you do group coaching? No, not necessarily. And in fact, it can actually speed up the results because you're around the right people. But looking at your offer suite, and what I really highly recommend is, yes, having one-on-one coaching, but with expanding out your offer suite, thinking about whether or not that can actually add up into a higher cash month. So if you're wanting to earn 10, 20, pay 50K consistent months and you don't want to be on coaching calls all day, every day, then you need to have some sort of scalable higher ticket offer. And when I say higher ticket, it needs to be like $1,000 minimum a month that people can sign up to. And when I was doing like body image coaching, nutrition coaching, I was charging like $1,000 to $2,000 for, I think, yeah, for my 8-week group program that I used to do. So people out there want to pay that amount of money. It's just speaking to those kind of people and knowing how to speak to those kind of people, because otherwise it's going to be very difficult to actually sustain and generate consistent higher cash months if we don't have an offer suite that actually makes sense for that. And I, like, even when I was working as a life coach, people would pay me 6K. And these were not people that were like millionaires or anything like that. These were just general people that wanted to work with me, and that's what they valued, and that's what they wanted to choose to invest their money in. So it is possible. The evidence is out there. People are already charging that amount. Why not you? But you need to be realistic at looking at your offer suite and thinking about, is this actually going to add up into higher cash months? Or am I just posting a lot of different offers, hoping one day that it's going to add up, that I'm going to go viral and somehow it's going to work out? And when you say those numbers, I notice I couldn't charge that belief. Yeah, definitely something to work on, because the evidence is already out there. People are already charging that amount. So like, why not you? Okay, let me know if you have any questions as you go along, but I just want to talk a little bit about the Visionary Mastermind as well. So this is my 6-month high touch, high impact, super supportive, very personalized mastermind that is starting next week. I know that we already have some people in here that are joining the Visionary Mastermind, which I'm so excited for. This Visionary Mastermind was originally my Scale Mastermind, but with the elevation of my business, the growth of my business, and just like getting really clear on what I'm here to do, we've changed the name and we've completely overhauled the structure so that it's a more premium experience and a more high-end personalized experience as well. So the Visionary Mastermind is basically for you if growing your business is really important and working with more clients and making lots of money is really important to you, but you also concurrently want to be working on understanding how to create a global movement and making a global impact so that you really become known in your industry as a thought leader and a change maker. Like, you're here to shake up how things have traditionally been done, whether you're here to completely dispel and combat diet culture, you want to shake up traditional therapy because you know that people need to start fucking feeling their feelings and not intellectualizing everything. You want to completely break down taboos and stereotypes through your content, through your business. You don't want to just use your business as a way to make money, even though you know you want to make a lot of money. You also want to use your business as a way to change the fucking world. And you know that that is bubbling up deep beneath you. And it's really important to you to have to attract a community of people that are also really invested in your movement and want to get behind your zone of genius. And you know that you have a zone of genius that people need to hear. And most likely you've been through a big personal transformation yourself. So you really know firsthand how impactful the work that you do and the new approach that you have to offer is. So if that sounds like you and you're really keen to have the support as you not only build your business, but also build out your zone of genius, build out your brand, and really build out like the mark that you want to leave on the industry and the world, then I want to invite you to join the Visionary Mastermind. The full price of this is going to be $10K USD, but it is currently exclusively only for those of you that are in this training. For $8K USD, there are payment plans as well. So you get to save $2,000 if you sign up before Sunday or within the next couple of days, basically. What is included is we have 3 calls per month. So 1 call a month is strategy focused. 1 call per month is like mindset, energy work, shadow work. And then the last call is a flexi call. So in that call, you get to do, sometimes we'll do a content workshop, a zone of genius workshop, brand development, whatever. And then we have a week for integration where you can just like implement, be the self-led human that you are, hit the ground running and go from there. You also get access to the full Ministry of Genius membership, which alone is around 20K value. And the Ministry of Genius membership is all of my courses and programs, the vault of the past courses and programs that I have filmed as well. So you get a really incredible base of knowledge. And then within the mastermind, we can integrate that in a way that suits your lifestyle and your business to the best of your ability. You also get messenger coaching so that you can have support in between the calls as well. And you also get 1 day of one-on-one messenger coaching with me too. So you get that element of having some personalization. There are very limited spots for this because there's already people in the mastermind. People are already starting for this next round. So if you're interested, send me a DM. As I said, you get to save $2,000. Just DM me the word visionary and I can send you more information and we can chat about whether or not it is a right fit for you. It's definitely for someone that is already established, that's already posting on social media, that's already working with clients. And ideally you have like 1 to 2 offers and you're wanting to think about how you can strategically expand your offer suite, work with more clients, have offers that can hold hundreds of clients, as well as making more money in a scalable way. So you're not selling your time for money anymore. So if you're interested in that, send me a DM. But aside from that, we're going to move tomorrow's training to 8 a.m. because I know that a lot of you said that that was more beneficial for you. So I will be sending out an email reminder for that tomorrow, and that's going to be the last day. So remember, whoever stays until the end of all of the days, as many as you can, I'm going to send you my guide, which is that 33 content prompts to extract your zone of genius as well. So Krista, Brooke, I mean, you might even, Krista, I think you already have it, but Brooke, you get it anyway because you're a one-on-one client. But everyone today, I'm going to give it to you all as well because you're all in here till the end. And then I will also be announcing who is going to be winning the one-on-one session on Monday next week. And I'm going to announce it via Instagram as well. So take a photo, engage in the chat. That's all the ways that you can go in the running to win and get as many entries as possible. So good luck. And thank you. This was such a vibe. I loved it. Oh my God, I can't believe we've been talking for more than an hour. Time flies when you're having fun. So remember to do these things in your business because that's what helps you to get to the next milestone quicker. And now we're all vibing high and I'll talk to you all soon. Bye.